A very busy final hour for you, 8:04. Get ready because it's here, the International Sportsman's Expo, Cal Expo, now through Sunday. Huge show, noon to 3, the lowdown, Damian, Jason, and Ken. They got reporters with the Steelers and Patriots on. That's Will Graves, who was rescheduled from earlier this week. Kyle Hightower as well, Jordan Rock, comedian, in studio as well. And I'm pretty sure they're going to argue, if I know Damian right, as to whether or not Russell Westbrook was the biggest all-star snub in all-star history. KD does not think so.
History.
We do. And by the way, if you're wondering about KD Christensen.
That's because it's her story.
See, you tried.
No.
Sometimes it's just best to let those go. That's all right. You'll get it back here in a few minutes, Nate. We had some tech issues with KD earlier, so we cut that off, and it's Nate and I today, but we'll share some of that a little bit later as far as KD's picks and stuff like that. Our winner, apparently, is Maxwell. Maxwell, we'll play the little snippet first for everybody, Matt. The little snippet we played before we went to break. Okay, so off of that, we asked you, Maxwell, and everybody else, what Bon Jovi song was that?
That was Living on a Prayer.
Living on a Prayer. That is correct. Right. You had to get that. Congratulations, Maxwell. You've got yourself Bon Jovi tickets, February 28th, Golden One Center. And stick around. Now, Maxwell, that's you, Alan, Fernando, Ryan, and Dave. You guys better be listening. Stick around, because right around 8:52, 8:53-ish, we're going to call you guys live on the air after we do our drawing, and you will, if you're lucky, win a bay at Topgolf for you and 5 of your friends. All right, Maxwell?
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Dave.
Very good.
Good
Congratulations.
Job, Maxwell.
Yeah, it's well done. It's well done by Maxwell. You had to know that song. You had to know that
song. Well, especially from the clip we played.
Right.
It's all right. We gave you a free one today.
Sam Amick joins us at 8:30 right now. Darren Collison is in Memphis getting ready to take on the Memphis Grizzlies, and he joins us. Hello, Darren. How are you?
What's good? How you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. First and foremost, it's on what's everyone's mind. And I hearken back there. I said hearken. Geez. When we sat down at the bowling tournament a couple weeks ago and we talked about players getting traded, and you made an analogy that really stuck with me. Dave, what if one of your kids, when you came home, was traded? Everybody thinks about the player coming in. Nobody thinks about the player leaving. I would argue that what happened to Rudy Gay this week was almost as bad, if not worse, than the emotion that you would go through with a traded player. Is that correct?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, trades, you know, he's still playing. But, you know, the injury that he had, it's unfortunate. And it's an injury that you don't ever want to experience yourself or see anybody else go through it, even on the other team, and let alone one of your brothers on your team. It kind of hurts. You know, our mood has been down for the last couple of days because we've just been thinking about the situation. But, you know, he's been more positive. He's been in high spirits. We got a chance to talk to him, so it should be cool.
Now, I think we completely understand it. In that game, you guys might have played the best first quarter, any quarter that you've played all year long against Indiana. In fact, both quarters in the first half were fantastic. Indiana was coming back, as good teams will, but it seemed that after the Rudy Gay injury, there was just something missing from your ball club. And I got the feeling as a fan watching, Darren, that your guys' hearts, you were still being professionals, but you had other things on your mind. Is that accurate?
It could be true. You know what I mean? I think our focus was lost a little bit, definitely in the second half. You know, like I said, you just don't ever want to see that from anybody else. We knew what type of injury it was, and we didn't want it to be confirmed, but, you know, it was already talked about him being his Achilles. So it was kind of unfortunate situation that unfolded for us in the second half.
Well, and Darren, I mean, we can't sit here and pretend that you can just be soulless about something like that. I mean, it's obviously going to affect you. Like, how long does that take? I mean, we witnessed it with the Raiders when Derek Carr hurt his leg. You could kind of see throughout the course of that game, there was just stunned on the sidelines, and you try to fight through it. But how long does that linger before it really sinks in? You're like, oh, man, like, we got to do this now.
I don't know. You know what I mean? You want to say you want to get over it and still focus on your job, but, you know, we're humans, and I don't know how long this is going to linger. You know what I mean? I do know that we have a good group of guys that are veterans that understand that they have experienced some type of, you know, experience that one of their players have went down, and they still got to perform. So we still got to go out there and do our jobs. But at the end of the day, it will be tough. But, you know, we still got to go out there and do our jobs.
Darren Collison joining us from Memphis ahead of tonight's game against the Grizzlies. 5 o'clock tip-off right here on KHDK. And it is a business, as you've often told us. You're coming off it's a disastrous 1-6 homestand, let's not lie. And now you've got an 8-game road trip, the extra one because of the Philadelphia cancellation, staring you in the face. So you got jobs to do. Nobody knows that better than you. With the emotional toll that the last game took and the frustration of being a 1-7 team, fans listening right now, how do you guys pull it together mentally and say, we can't sit here and have a 1-7, 0-8, 2-6 road trip? We got a job to do.
Well, I think we have to take small wins, and small positive signs from last game, you know, even though it was, you know, a complete, you know, like you said, disaster is probably the best words to describe last game. But, you know, first quarter we played well, you know, so we had to come out of Memphis and play well the first quarter and then build on that, you know what I mean? So just take it one possession at a time, you know, not get too overly caught up in what happened in the past and what happened in the past. So if we just take one quarter at a time like we did against the Pacers and play that well like we did the first quarter, I think we should give ourselves a chance. You know what I mean? We're playing some very good teams. Most of them are playoff teams. Our teams are in the hunt for playoffs. And it should be fun. This is something that, you know, we all wanted to put ourselves in a position to play this at a high level. And right now it's starting to ramp up in the NBA season.
Darren, there's obviously more pressing issues this season than, you know, who's in the All-Star game and what goes on there. But as we're looking, you know, you guys get a say in the voting this year. And as we're looking across some of the ballots, there are a lot of single-player votes for guys that might not necessarily be qualified to be starting the All-Star game. Are you guys allowed to vote for yourselves?
Yeah, we can. I think you can vote for some. I think you can vote for yourself like at all positions, too.
Nice.
Are you happy that the players knew this year get 25% of the vote, or would you rather not deal with it?
I think it's fair. You know what I mean? I think the players have to have a say. I mean, we're playing against each other every day. You know what I mean? So we have more of an idea of who should be an All-Star or not. You know, the fans are watching, and, you know, you got to give them credit for, you know, and let them put their input in. But I think the players should have a say, too.
Did Russ get screwed? Well, you know, no offense to Steph Curry, but in your opinion, should Russ be starting?
Oh, of course. You know what I mean? It's, you know, we always knew from the politics side, like, how this would fare out. You know what I mean? And Russ averaging a triple-double. You know, Steph, you know, we know he's, like, kind of like the face of the NBA. So it was definitely going to be an issue coming down the stretch, you know, with those two when it comes to the All-Star votes. But either or, it would have been starting. So, but definitely Russ should have been starting.
Darren Collison joining us. A great thing about having a player on, I always say, is that we can actually ask the guys on the floor and dealing with the business of basketball things, not just pontificate ourselves. Last thing for you, Darren. When you have a contract coming up this summer, and obviously we're not going to ask you what you're going to do. That's your business. But I am curious. There's been a lot of talk amongst the fan base, Kings fan base, especially in light of recent events, as to whether or not to push for the playoffs or take a step back and try to rebuild and build for the future. That's out of your control. Obviously, you want to win. But when you're looking and you're making a decision as a player as to where you want to spend the next 2, 3, 4 years of your career, I would imagine money and security for your family is number one. But does a rebuild versus a push for the playoffs also factor into your decision? And would you be okay if the situation was right in being a part of a rebuilding team?
Good question. I think me personally, you know what I mean? I mean, I want to win. I want to win a championship, you know, for my career. You know what I mean? I think it's time. I'm in the middle of my prime years right now, and I experienced everything from the highs and the lows. And I kind of understand the game myself. So, you know, me personally, I want to win a championship. But, you know, considering our circumstances here in Sacramento, only because of the fans. And, you know, I came here on a commitment that I wanted to help this team turn around. I'm willing to do whatever, you know, management wants. You know what I mean? I think it's so hard to come to a team like this organization and to turn things around. You know, you got to go through so many different obstacles. And fans don't understand, like, you know, they talk about, you know, them being hurt, you know, as players ourselves, you know, if your heart's in it, you know, we're just as hurt. You know, we're upset every single day at the stuff that we have to go through too. So from a player standpoint, being in Sacramento, I want to see this thing unfold. I want to see some success come here in Sacramento. And I made a commitment. I'm willing to do that.
Darren, we know you got a busy day today. Of course, the game, 5 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Good luck to you guys tonight, and hopefully we'll pull out a W in Tennessee.
Got you. No problem.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Darren.
Darren Collison joining us. It, you know, it's a business. You got to move forward. You saw in DeMarcus Cousins' comments the night the Rudy Gay injury happened, and then Darren's still right now, and that's not sleepy. It's, what, 10, 11, 15 out there. There's obviously
somber tone.
Yeah, very. And I'm not telling him anything he doesn't know. He said it himself. But as heartless as it sounds, it's like you hope that they can take that emotion and take away the somber and turn it into, not to sound cliche here, man, but turn it into a, let's win one for Rudy. Let's go out there and win one for our fallen comrade.
Yeah, I mean, let's do the old Mike Tomlin cheerleading rah-rah bit. I mean, I remember something simple, and this, you know, again, just basic amateur stuff, but I remember something our coach used to do in high schoolers. Before every game, we would circle up. That was, you know, he would go through starting lineups, give us strategy, all that type of stuff. And then right before we took the floor, it was circle up. And everyone holds each other's hands. And the message there is that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, right? But we're not a chain. We're a wheel. And if we lose one link in that wheel, the circle just grows tighter and smaller and comes closer together. And that was the message we got before every game. Now, does that type of rah-rah crap work with millionaires? Probably not. But the idea is the same. The circle is now tighter. It's smaller. There's a little bit more on everyone else, but this is where we come together. This is where we got to show that we're a wheel. We're not just some loose chain with, and you know, with links that are out there in the ether.
February 23rd is the trade deadline. The Kings will finish this month on the road. We will meet up with Katie in Houston. That's a week from Tuesday when the Kings take on the Rockets. When you look at this schedule coming up again, as we mentioned with Darren, it was a 1-6 homestand, and granted, it wasn't the easiest teams they were playing. Well, team wise, this is an easier 8-game stretch than the last 7. But guess what? You're on the road. My question for you, Nate, is that we know the powers that be, at least recently, that they're focused on playoffs. But by the time they come back February 3rd against Phoenix, there's a very, very real possibility that they will be sitting with a worse record than Philadelphia, that they will be sitting 2, 3, 4 games out of the 8th spot, well under 500, you know, probably 10 to 11 games under 500. And then you sit there in February and you don't leave the state of California for the entire month. You have 2 road games, LA and Golden State, and those games are back to back. And then the next time you leave the state, it's what, let's see, March 6th at Denver.
All right.
So my question is, do you think this team and the management will make the decision by the end of this road trip what they want to do with the rest of the year? You think they're going to hold on until the very last minute, if you had to guess?
Oh, man. I think they'll hold on if I had to guess. Yeah. Like, if you're asking me what the right move is, I think it's probably to see what this road trip has in store. But they've, and I don't know if it's paralysis by analysis or if they just simply haven't gotten any deals that they think are going to make them better in the short term or long term. But, I mean, we've kind of seen a repeated holding pattern. There's always rumors that come out, and there's always speculated ideas, whether it's Ricky Rubio or who is the guy that we – oh, Paul Millsap was the guy that just came up. I mean, those names get thrown out there, and ultimately nothing ever happens. And I think that – that's just what this team is. I think that the Kings are a franchise that simply exists in professional sports. They're not bad enough to be noteworthy. They're not good enough to be noteworthy. They're just there.
They're treading water. Mm-hmm. Each and every year they're treading water.
And I think they're kind of operated in that vein and have been for the last couple of years anyway.
There's a different wrinkle that I was thinking about when it comes to DeMarcus Cousins signing his extension, which is a big topic of conversation amongst fans. I am convinced 100%, despite the report, or in favor, you know, because of the report perhaps, but other external motivations here, that there is simply no chance that DeMarcus Cousins does not choose to re-sign here. I mean, literally, there is no chance. And I'm not trying to pull a Kevin Durant. I'm saying the difference in DeMarcus Cousins signing here and signing elsewhere is $80 million and change. $80 million. So I decided to look that up. $80 million by itself would be the 17th largest contract in the NBA right now, and that's Ryan Anderson at exactly $80 million. He signed that with Houston in the offseason. The difference, I'll say again, between what the Kings can offer DeMarcus and what he could get elsewhere is $80 million. I do not believe he's going to give that up. Now, I'm not doubting his loyalty. I'm not doubting the fact that he wants to win here. I'm not putting anything into that. But I think it's significant for us to talk about that he could sign the contract here. And by the way, the CBA with the designated player cannot be traded the year after. But we have no idea. He may sign the contract and in his mind say, I'm going to give him a year. Mm-hmm. I'm giving him a year, and if I don't like what I see, I'm getting out of here. So I on the anti-DeMarcus front, just because they signed him with this extension, guys, doesn't mean they're keeping him for the entire contract. And right. On the pro-DeMarcus front, just because you're signing him to this extension, again, does not mean it's safe. And at some point, they're going to have to pull the trigger on something if they continue to keep doing this, whether it's because they're forcing themselves to or somebody like him is forcing themselves to.
Right, and I mean, that's kind of ultimately why this, I guess you could call it maybe a little underreported, the idea that he's going to do this extension, because unless there's a no-trade clause in there, it really doesn't mean anything. Other than that it makes it different to trade him because of salaries matching up. But other than that, I mean, it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, and I had spoken about that they are going to try to work and work through and find some sort of a hole there in that CBA to try to get a no-trade clause, and that's just going to give him more power if, in fact, either A, he doesn't want to leave here, or B, when he does want to leave here, he can choose or help choose which team he goes to. Without a doubt, when they sign that deal with him, he is going to hold all the chips, at least for a year. Then after that, he'll hold some of them, but the Kings could still decide to trade him and have that ability. So it is interesting when you talk about a rebuild and the rebuild camp, which I think is the majority of Kings fans, also understanding that you've got the pick swap this year, you have the first-round draft pick you owe to Philadelphia unprotected in 2 years. So even for the fans that want to sit back and rebuild, it's very important to understand exactly that. Even a rebuild, even a full-scale rebuild, even if you traded DeMarcus Cousins rebuild, the A-bomb, you've got a lot of hurdles standing in your way still for that rebuild. Don, you're on KHDK.
I was just wondering, $200 million to DeMarcus, is there any other GM in the league that's going to want to give him that kind of money?
Yes,
all of them.
All of them, huh? Yeah, because he acts so well on the court and he's real good in the locker room.
But Don, you're thinking with, and when I say all of them, I'd say maybe there's four that what you're like, I don't know if R.C. Buford with the Spurs were. I mean, there's probably a couple outliers. But Don, you're thinking with your heart, and I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm saying stop thinking that way and start thinking about market value. He's going to get a max deal with any other team. And if you want him off this team just because he signs the extension with the Kings, doesn't mean he's still going to be on this team a year or two down the road.
Yeah, but he doesn't. The bottom line with DeMarcus is he's just a stat stuffer. He can't win the games at the end of the game. How many times have we seen him throw the ball away or make real stupid moves at the end of the game? You know.
But I want to understand your question or your point though. Are you questioning whether or not the Kings should re-sign him, or were you just calling to say how much he sucks? I'm being honest.
No, really, no. You know what? The guy's a really good player. It's just in crunch time, I'm a season ticket holder. I've been a season ticket holder for a long time. I can count the number of games he's won on one hand in the time he's been here. And he's supposed to be your hotshot all-star, okay? All he does is stuff the stat sheet, okay? He never gets it done when it really matters, you know?
So you're
not having it done, he can't get it done.
So you do not think they should re-sign him? or extend him?
No, I don't. Not at all. They should get some pieces, you know.
But that's what I'm Don. That's and I'm not going to argue with you as to whether or not you should or shouldn't like DeMarcus Cousins because
I'll let you go. I know you guys.
Stay on the line. I want to have this conversation.
Dave Yeager is a really, really good coach, and I don't know. Do you think he really wants DeMarcus on his team for another 4 or 5 years?
I don't know about another 4 or 5 years, Don, but I know he wants him on his team right now. And I know you're a Kings fan, and you're obviously a season ticket holder. So let's say that you and I are both on the same side with DeMarcus. I would still very much want this team to re-sign him, and I'll tell you why. Let's say you want those pieces. You got to understand that DeMarcus's trade value increases once he is maxed out. Once he is under contract for 4 or 5 or 6 years, the Kings would be able to get more pieces in return for him because the other team won't be taking a flyer that he's going to be one and done or two and done. So my point, Don, is whether you like him or not, as a Kings fan, as you just said, and I believe you, you're a diehard Kings fan, you really, really want this team to sign him to an extension. You just don't know it yet.
I don't want to wait 3 or 4 or 5 years before we go through the same thing we've gone through the first 7 years, and then we're in the same spot down the road, only worse off.
Well, we got to go, and I appreciate the time, Don. Here's news flash, and I hate to say it. Barring a crazy miracle, you're looking at another 2 to 3 years minimum of mediocrity with this team the way everything's set right now, unless they strike lightning in the draft and happen to get a free agent or two to come here of their own fruition. Honestly, the cupboard is bare, folks. And if it's not bare, it's got a saltine cracker and a pepper shaker in there. We'll take a break. When we return, Sam Amick, we'll talk All-Star with him, and we'll steal a little bit from the lowdown. They'll be doing this noon to 3. How bad was the snub of Russell Westbrook, and does it rank up their all-time? We'll do that when we get back on the drive. 3 minutes away. Sports 1140 KHDK. Sam Amick coming up in a minute. In about 5 minutes, give or take, you have an opportunity to text in to win Monster Jam tickets. That's this weekend. By the way, we'll be giving away PBR tickets, the bull riding next week. And apparently myself and a lucky winner, something called the Shark Tank. It's like a little cage actually on the dirt in the middle of the what happens. And I'm going to go out there for a couple of rounds and sit in that Shark Tank with a Shark Tank with a winner. I'm a little excited and scared
Shark
about
tank.
That. Shark Tank, to be honest with you. Say hi to Mark Cuban and what's his face?
I can't think of any of them either.
God, the bald guy. There's the guy that owns FUBU and Barbara Corcoran. Why is that the one I can remember? Damien?
Yes,
damn it, who cares?
Something or other. And
speaking of Damien.
Blonde gal.
Noon to 3 today. We'll be talking to Sam a little bit about this. But the lowdown, we told you they were having on earlier, but they're also going to be talking about the historic significance of Russell Westbrook and his snub from the game. And somebody on the text line, it's interesting, from the 916, and I've thought about this too. Any chance Omri Caspi could be a guy that saves the season? That might be going overboard.
Whoa.
He said last year is very effective when given time. Is there a small chance Rudy being out is a blessing in disguise? And I want you know it's tough to go there right now. Even though we had a conversation three days ago about was this team better without Rudy Gay on the floor in light of Rudy's injury? It's you know we'll get to that down the road. But it just seems as you said earlier the body's not cold type of thing. It seems a little unethical. But although Omri is hurt, and I don't know what his status is for this road trip, and maybe they move him up a little bit more, but I am curious to see Omri Caspi and to an extent Malachi Richardson, if Yeager will play him a little bit more, get some time in there as well. From USA Today, former Sacramento Bee writer and beautiful mane of red hair, the one, the only, Samuel L. Amick. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Hi.
Hanging in there.
I didn't get the middle initial right, did I? It's not L, is it?
No, I mean, but it was 1 out of 26 were your odds.
Good point.
Not very good.
Great point.
But no, it's an R, not an L.
We had Darren Collison on about 10 minutes ago, and one of the questions asked was, are NBA players allowed to vote for themselves in the new voting? And, of course, the answer was yes. I thought it interesting that not just Darren, but Willie Cauley-Stein and Ben McLemore all got at least one vote to start the All-Star game, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to – sound like I'm stumping for us media schmucks who always get criticized.
But you're right in what you're about to say.
Yeah, I mean, we always get killed that we get it wrong. My goodness, the one guy who comes to mind, and he's not alone, but Kyrie Irving has said in the past that he doesn't think the media should have a vote. And if anybody missed it, one of our guys at our place actually compiled kind of the most absurd among the player votes. I think I retweeted it on my Twitter feed. But it's just, you know, the players, bottom line, obviously a lot of them didn't take it seriously at all. Now, in the end, the good takeaway is I do think they got it right in terms of the end result with, you know, different things they voted on. There was a legitimacy to, you know, enough guys took it seriously that it did serve its purpose. And I think it did fix kind of the Zaza Pachulia type component with the voting system change that they were trying to fix. But I actually was texting with a guy from the league about it yesterday and just saying to him, like, my God, can you imagine if reporters had voted for some of the people who got voted for with the, you know, what the players did. So kind of disappointing, and maybe the transparency will correct it going forward. I don't know if the players will ever care about getting criticized on that kind of thing, but it was just kind of an embarrassing look, I think.
Well, and I just went down your timeline. That's where I saw it yesterday. I couldn't remember his name. Bryce Johnson got two votes, not one, but two votes. It's interesting because Bryce Johnson has never played in the NBA. So there's that, Sam.
The best part is that means that Bryce didn't vote for Bryce.
Right.
Somebody else voted for Bryce. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, here's the good news. I'd much rather talk about this voting today than the other voting.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think it could be worse.
Danger Will Robinson. Nate, take over.
Oh, yeah. That's a perfect time to flip it over to me, too. Sam, I mean,
oh, by the way, not to interrupt you, Nate, we have a nice interview with Steph Curry on our website today talking about President Obama. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
I read some snippets of that, actually. It is really good. It's been kind of interesting to watch the NBA as a league. I mean, from the top down and the players, too, just the way that they've all approached this. I mean, I guess that's where I'll go with it is why is the NBA so far out in front of this type of stuff that the other leagues aren't?
Clarify that for me a little bit, Nate, because I threw you guys the curveball. Which far out in front of which topic here?
Well, you know, politically speaking, the NBA is a really progressive organization, whereas, I mean, most leagues, the NFL and Major League Baseball, tend to try to stay as far away from anything politically as they possibly can, where the NBA, they get right out in front of it, and they're pretty visible.
They do. I think the obvious part of the answer is the demographics. I mean, you have an 80-some-odd percent African-American league. You also have, I think there's a different element, you know, NFL players have helmets on, they tend to be, you know, you got 50 plus guys on a roster, whatever it is, it's less personal. I think the voices get watered down a little bit, and then, you know, the demographics are different in the NFL, NHL, obviously the pendulum swings even farther the other way, and baseball is kind of in the middle. But it's been interesting to see it evolve because it's not like it's, I mean, it's not even close to being simply the, you know, the minority aspects of the NBA speaking out. I mean, it's Steve Kerr, Stan Van Gundy, guys like that have been the most outspoken in the entire league. Greg Popovich. I think part of it is the heart and soul of the leadership. I know that sounds kind of corny, but going back to David Stern's tenure, he was an outspoken guy who didn't always just keep it with basketball. And Adam Silver has been the same way. You know, he has kind of his legacy, I don't know what the word I'm searching for is, you know, his legacy got off to a very good start when he kicked Donald Sterling out of office, so to speak, with the Clippers situation. And that was a loud statement from the league that, you know, there was not going to be any tolerance when it comes to any sort of discrimination. So I think all that stuff comes into play. And then over time, what we've seen in the past 8 years with Obama in office is an unprecedented connection between the basketball community and the president, and not just because it was the first African-American president. You know, certainly he's a huge basketball fan. I mean, huge. You know, Adam Silver has talked about how Obama could sit there and break down the Charlotte roster if you want him to. I mean, he knows the game. And we actually, I know I keep plugging stuff. We've got a Jeff Zilgit, my colleague, did a really good piece, not only with the Steph Curry stuff in there, But LeBron, Adam Silver talking about Obama, and you get a sense of these relationships, a real strong connection between the NBA and the White House these last 8 years.
Well, and speaking of votes that maybe went a way you didn't think they would, Russell Westbrook, God, I always have trouble with that name, Russell Westbrook does not get into the starting lineup. Steph Curry does. Do you feel like that's as big of a snub as some of the things you're hearing?
Yeah, I do for sure. It's funny because, not to pull the curtain back too far, but yesterday we always run into a pickle with All-Star votes getting released at our place because we still have a print product to worry about. And so we end up getting a sniff of some of the results early, and it kind of takes us out of the news-breaking game a little bit, if that makes sense. And so bottom line, like I you know, I've been given a strong indication that Russ was in and, I mean, out, and Steph Curry was in. And so I figured I wouldn't waste any time, and I started banging away on a column kind of giving my 2 cents. I think it's absurd. I mean, it's not – there have been worse transgressions in the All-Star game. Steph is obviously beyond an All-Star caliber player. It's just disappointing to see – to me, Westbrook, I wanted to see him in the starting lineup because, honestly, I don't think he's going to win the MVP award, nor do I think if the season ended today that he should be the MVP. But it's just the idea that history potentially – might show that he averaged a triple-double, and he not only was he not the MVP, but he wasn't even an All-Star starter. I think that's unfortunate. And with Steph, you know, again, really good numbers. We get too caught up in the narrative. Yeah, he's not as good as last year, but there's, you know, a lot has taken place. You're sharing the ball with a former MVP and Kevin Durant. But he just shouldn't have been in the starting lineup. I you know, the fan vote, rather, was the tiebreaker. You know, I don't know if there was a way to do the system differently to avoid something like this. But to your question, yeah, I think Russ and James should have been in there. I mean, they're 1-2 by almost everybody's account in the MVP race. So, you know, you would think that would reflect itself in the starting lineup.
Well, normally this is the point where we wrap up the interview and I plug some of the stuff you have coming up, Sam, but you basically took most of the interview and plugged it on your own. So
Don't give me a hard time.
I'll just say you're a good guy, and you should follow you on Twitter, and you do good work, Sam.
The best guy, Sam.
The most tepid support there ever, David. I get more love when Katie's on the show.
Wow.
See?
That's crazy.
This one's on you, Dave. I'm sorry, man.
All right, Sam. You'll follow Sam Amick on the old Twitter machine, and he does have some amazing, wonderful work coming up. Just follow him online for all the links and fun stuff. We always appreciate your time. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. We will take a break. When we go to break, listen up. You'll get your chance to text in for Monster Jam tickets. And when we get back in 5 minutes, we'll wrap up the show and we will finish up giving away your own bay at Top Golf. You and 5 friends this Sunday. All our qualifiers standing by. We're going to call one of them. Let them know they won. We're doing that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Oh, a little jet to finish out the week. Welcome into The Drive. Dave, Nate, Katie in Memphis. Connection a little goofy, so we said bye-bye to her. So she's not feeling good. Give her the weekend off. We'll be back Monday along with all the rest of us. We've been doing this Golfing on a Prayer contest all week long, giving away a pair of Bon Jovi tickets to the Golden One concert February 28th and qualifying you for your very own bay for you and 5 friends. This Sunday, and join us out there at Top Golf. We'll be there starting at noon. You can play, watch the NFL playoffs, great food, full service bars, upscale facilities, and competitive fun. We'll also have a Beat the Pro out there. We'll goof around, and it's just a good place to watch the championship games. Nate,
you know, I mean, we've kind of been avoiding this all day, but you know that today's a really important day.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you're aware of this. But, I mean, I feel like we'd be remiss to go 3 hours and not acknowledge the fact that it's Paul Stanley's birthday today.
Congratulations, Kiss. Paul. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, yep. Paul. Paul.
Kiss Army Unite.
Yes, that's right. All right, I've got 5 winners here. Alan, Fernando, Ryan, Dave, and today's winner, Maxwell. Now, I am putting these in a hat.
All right.
Nate, I just want you to pick a number. I'm mixing them up, so it's not 1 through 5 like how I read them there. All right, they're all mixed up. I've got 5 phone numbers in a hat. Just pick a number between 1 and 5.
Wait, am I picking the number out of the hat? Because give me the damn hat already.
Oh, okay, here you go. Here's the hat. All right, you pick the number and hand it over to me. Okay. 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 All right.
There's your number.
Now, they're supposed to be standing by. They're never standing by. This never goes well at all, but who knows?
Come on, lucky number 5.
Maybe we'll get lucky. Maybe I actually dialed the number right, too. That's another thing.
Possibility.
Oh, hey!
We're off to a good start.
Okay, so far, so good.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, is this Ryan?
Yo, what's cracking?
Ryan, it's Dave. How are you?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
I'm calling each one of the participants because we respect the fact that you entered and that you are trying to win. I got to tell you, you did not win.
You suck.
No, I'm just kidding, dude. Hey, congratulations. Ryan has been... I recognize... Damn it. Come on, horns.
Can we make a choice?
Jesus, get done.
Oh, I love this song.
Yeah, a little fanfare for you. Hey, I know this guy. When you gave me this number, it's like, oh, God.
Suck.
Because he's a Twitter guy. We've talked on Twitter a couple times, I think, haven't we, Ryan?
I can't hear you. The songs are too loud.
Ryan, we've talked on Twitter a couple times, have we not?
What's that, buddy?
Have we talked on Twitter before?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Well, can't wait
Stop
to...
Stop trolling me about my Cowboys.
Can't wait to spend Sunday with you, buddy, out at Topgolf. Now, the question is, do you have 5 friends you can bring along, or do you have to hire them?
No, I never have to hire friends.
Yeah, boy. Nice. All right, no Cowboy gear. That's the rule. I guess you can wear whatever you want.
What?
Congratulations. You are, along with 4 of your friends or 5 of your other friends, you're coming to Topgolf this Sunday, playing a little Topgolf with us, eating, drinking, being merry, and watching football, buddy, and we appreciate you.
Thanks, boys. I'm stoked.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome. We'll see Ryan.
Watch us duff some golf balls on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little, I've looked at the videos and stuff, but this is my maiden voyage to Topgolf.
And it's going to be awesome.
The ball doesn't ever go where I want it to, so I don't know, like, maybe I'll accidentally score points. I don't really know how it works.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you've got the big advantage here because you can just pretend that's where you wanted your ball to go.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, I may just shank one, you know, into the whatever it is. I feel like it's, what is that, like ski ball, but for golf, where I just shank one into the little circle and, hey, 500 points or whatever.
Still bumps its way into some winnings.
And apparently they have clubs you can play with. But you, most people bring their own.
I mean, if it's like the bats at a batting cage, right?
Yeah,
like
exactly.
If you paid for your own, bring it.
Yeah, you want that. You want to have your own stuff. So, anyways, by the time we get back here on Monday, we'll have a couple of Kings games in the books. We'll know who the Super Bowl is going to be. And again, you don't have to be a winner to join us out at Topgolf. In fact, if you do that, you're all winners. Come on out, hang out with us starting at noon this Sunday. So here we go. We got the lowdown. Later today, as we mentioned, they have all kinds of fun and feisty conversation about Russell Westbrook not making the All-Star team, and is that, in fact, the biggest All-Star snub in history, especially the first year of the voting change. Also, Will Graves and Kyle Hightower, reporters with the Steelers and Patriots, respectively, to break down those games, and comedian Jordan Rock in studio. Plus, we'll have a couple of Kings games in the books, like I said, so we'll see where the hell they are on Monday.
Isn't, like, the idea, because we talked a lot about Russell Westbrook getting snubbed. The guy's averaging a triple-double for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if your argument to that is, hey, there's no one else on his team. He's doing all the lifting himself. He's like, he's got to do all that work. Isn't that nullified by the fact that he's doing more than scoring points?
I would say yes.
Okay.
He's distributing. He's
frankly,
rebounding.
I think so, too. I mean, if you want to make that argument about someone, look back at Allen Iverson. And I think that Allen Iverson was an all-time great player. There's no denying that. But, I mean, you talk about a guy that they literally had to put 4 dudes around him that were willing to watch Allen Iverson shoot the ball and then defend for him, too.
Well, and I think the most impressive stat when you look at what Russell Westbrook's done is the fact that you have a 6-foot-something point guard that's pulling down double-digit rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Points, yeah. Assists, yeah.
Right, like it's like Jerry always says, even terrible teams have leading scorers.
Yeah,
but number
exactly.
one, the Thunder aren't terrible. And number two, like, even a crappy team, if you lead that team in points, rebounds, and assists, that's still kind of a big deal.
We have avoided talking about it the entire show, but we would be remiss if we did not mention in under 4 minutes, we will have a new president of the United States. And I don't pretend to be smart or to know how to say anything worth a damn. You tune into Sports Talk Radio to escape the real world. I would just simply hope this. It's a hope that whatever happens today, tomorrow, and the next day, you know, it sounds goofy, it sounds cliche, but just love each other, be nice to each other, just return on Monday, America moves on and does its thing, and just be a nice human being, would you, please? Thank you, appreciate it. Lowdown coming up at noon, Jim Rome at 9 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day and a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday at 6 on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK.